to take a Bible tonight to Nehemiah chapter number 5. We're also going to go over a memory verse for the week. It's in Proverbs chapter 29 that we want to find those in spots. Your memory verse is found in the bulletin, so if you have one of those available. But what we're going to be preaching at tonight is found in Nehemiah chapter number 5. We'll give you a chance to get there, and we'll go over a memory verse. Like I said, each week when you put a memory verse out there, there's a purpose and there's a plan behind that. Some are ones that maybe you're familiar with. Some are ones that are a little bit new. Try to encourage you on the way. But the Bible speaks much about memorization, Bible memorization. So this year when we're talking about rising up and building our Christian lives, talking about growing, and that's what our year theme is here, is that we're rising up and building. And that's what our theme song goes along with, is we are trying to grow in the Lord this year. We should try to do it every year. But to have a purpose and to have a plan to be able to be a stronger and more mature Christian by the end of this year. And we're coming up through May, or almost near the halfway point, about 6 weeks away from that. And we need to check ourselves and examine ourselves and see how we've been doing. Have we been working harder at it? Have we been maybe being faithful to the commitments we made at the beginning of the year and things like that? I encourage you to take this seriously, and especially with these verses. You hide with God's word in your heart. The Bible speaks about many, many benefits for that. So our verse for this week is Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. This morning we looked at Herod being eaten by worms, and we talked about the pride that he had in his life, and how that pride is one of those things that really, really does hurt our Christian walk. It destroys it because we're not giving God the glory. And we looked at that example about pride and being prideful. We use that word honor in the second half of the verse. On Wednesday nights, we were talking about honor and how to honor God, what it means to honor God. And so this verse, I think, will be very different things we'll be hearing this week. Let's read it all together, please. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall hold the humble in spirit. Let's read it one more time. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And what a great verse. And we saw that this morning. We looked at Herod, how he was brought low, how he was humbled. We also look at the examples of Nebuchadnezzar, how he was humbled. We also look at the examples of Pharaoh, all those different things this morning about where pride takes us. And honor is something that we give weight to, we give value to, and how we can learn last week how we can even honor God in the hard times. Here in the book of Nehemiah, we've been going through this for the most part on Sunday nights. We've been looking at this. It's a great book of the Bible. It teaches us so much about leadership. It also teaches us the importance of how to get a job done. And tonight's message title is Building Through Problem Solving. Building through problem solving. And we say it's a little bit different because of the fact that people are bringing Nehemiah problems that are on the inside. We've been inside this group. And here Nehemiah, as a leader, has to step up and has to show and demonstrate some leadership skills and leadership abilities. And there are some wonderful things we can learn from this passage of Scripture tonight. Give you a little background to show you where we started off from back in Nehemiah chapter number 1. It talked about how Nehemiah, I believe, loved the Lord. Now, I don't know why Nehemiah did not go back, but instead he stayed and had a wonderful job as the cupbearer for the emperor, pretty much, of the world that day. And he had to cut king's ear, but he saw some of his brethren come into the area where he's at, and he asked his brother, well, how's Jerusalem? He cares about Jerusalem. And they give him a bad report. He hears about the walls being broken down, being burned. And you know what? That put a burden on his heart. You know, there's a lot of problems in the world we live in today. So are we going to let them affect us? If God gives us burdens or certain projects or certain things, we have become sometimes so cold-hearted that we just miss what God's trying to show us. Like we learned today because of our pride. Nehemiah lets it affect him, lets him get burdened about it. But he doesn't talk about the problems. He doesn't just say, well, so-and-so should do this, and so-and-so should do that. No, the Bible says he fasted, and he prayed, and he made himself available. He said, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And then he waited on the Lord. The Lord opened up the door for the king to ask him what he desired. Nehemiah revealed to him what God had been doing in his heart. God answered that prayer. King said, you can go. King gave him protection. King gave him resources. King did everything that was necessary to answer the prayer of Nehemiah. Nehemiah gets there. He sees the burden. Once again, the people that are there, They've been used to the wall being burnt down. They've been used to the wall being blown down. So this new guy coming along the side and saying, okay, let's build the wall. He doesn't do that right away. He goes, he takes it in, he sows it, and then he begins to tell the people what God's been doing in his heart and how God has been moving in his heart. And the people are excited about it. God gets the people excited. They said, let us rise up and build. And then when anytime you try to do something for God, you face confrontation. Face problems. You face issues. You see these different men that send ballots of the world, the bias of the world. They come and they start causing problems. Here in chapter number 2, it was not a big problem. They just ran them out. Chapter number 3, they start building it. Beautiful chapter. We showed you some illustrations there with the different gates and men. But it talks about how there was a number of people all working together, working hard, getting everything accomplished the way that God wanted to do it. It was a beautiful picture. But when God is pleased, we have a Satan that's not pleased. So he rises up, Sanballat and Tobiah, and the other different guys, and they actually begin making an army. They plan on coming and attacking and killing those that are trying to build this wall. They begin to threaten, they begin to do this, they begin to do that. And we looked at how we continue on building this fight, opposition. Last week we talked about fighting for our families. Nehemiah and Mother's Day, we talked about in the morning service. Talk about how Nehemiah said, look, we need to fight for our families. And this is an important job that we're doing. You group the families together. It says, now fight for your brothers, fight for your sisters, your children, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and fight. And they kept on building. Talk about last week how they had one hand, something to build the wall with, and the other on the dirt on their side was a sword. And how they just kept on working at it. Well, you know, anytime you go to do something for God, there's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. Sometimes from the outside, you know, the Sanballat and the Tobiah of life, they're never going to show up. They're always going to be there. If you're doing something for God, someone is going to say something. Someone is going to be critical. Someone's not going to be happy with what you're doing. But also, we saw 2 weeks back last week that inside they had an issue too. Inside the issue, they got discouraged. They got tired. It is hard to fight. It is hard to work. And they were at it. They got tired. They saw they got their eyes off of the Lord and what God was doing and started putting into rubbish the world. You know what? Nehemiah just says, remember the Lord. Focus on God. And they keep on building. And what a testimony. Chapter number 5, like I said, is a little bit different because the people that are inside and that are building the wall, they have issues and they have problems. They have something that's going on in their lives and they need help and they come to Nehemiah for help. So you say, why is it a little bit different? Well, here we see Nehemiah having to stop the work of the Lord to take care of these problems. I think you're going to see out of this message tonight how we ourselves can maybe a little bit help with problem solving, maybe a little bit help with how we should deal with things, but also to just continue on this work of God. God. Let's look here in Nehemiah chapter number 5. Let's look in verse number 1. And we're probably going to just go ahead and read the whole chapter and then we'll just highlight different things as we go back through here. They're building the wall. Things are going well. And then there was, it says, the Bible says in chapter 5, verse number 1, and there was a great cry. Listen, there's a great cry to the great God during this great work. It's a great cry of the people and their wives against. Look, they're not complaining about the Ammonites. They're not complaining about Tobias. They're not complaining about Sanballat against their brethren, the Jews. So there's a problem inside. For there were that said, we, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore, we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. They're saying, look, we got a problem. We need food. Verse number 3, some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our land, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. Now this word dearth usually recognizes a time of famine. Verse number 4, another group, there are also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. So these three different groups of people here, they are making a complaint. They're saying, we have this issue, we have this need, we're helping build this wall, we're helping do things that God has asked us to do, but these are the problems we're having. Believe me, the problems will not go away just because you start trying to do something for God. Verse number 5, Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters. So what they're saying here is that to be servants, they're selling their children into slavery just to be able to buy the food that they need. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, he says, and we cannot buy them back. For other men have our land. So they're saying that we had to sell them to slavery, had to give them over to be able to do the work just to have the food, and now we want to try to redeem them back, but these Jewish brethren here, they own our land, so no longer can we do this. Verse number 6, this is Nehemiah's response. And I was very angry. We're going to talk about that in a little while. When I heard their cry in these words, then I consulted with myself. You ever done that before? You go over and have your own little meeting. You go over and think, okay, you recognize the situation. You just sit there and you talk to yourself for a little while, figure things out. Nehemiah responds with this, is I consulted with myself. And after he had taken time to think about it, once again, we should always consult God and put God in our conversations. And then after he does that, it takes time, I rebuke the nobles, the people who had these lands and charging the interest and things like that. And the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. As you read that verse, I think what the Bible is saying here is he first rebukes in private. It doesn't matter. So instead, he brings a group to confront them together. So he tries to first take care of the issue. They don't want to respond. Secondly, they go and he brings a great assembly. And then he begins kind of, in a sense, preaching a message to them, showing them the error of their ways. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren, the Jews. So and you get the picture here that they say, look, there was a time when we were in Gentile bondage, we were slaves, we have redeemed these Jews back, which were sold unto the heathen. He's saying, look, there was times when these other people, they were slaves to them. We have redeemed them back. We have brought them back to Jerusalem. We have brought them back to Israel. Now they have what they can to be able to survive and serve the Lord. And it keeps on going. He says, and will you even sell your brother? He's looking at these nobles. He's preaching to this group of nobles who are the rich people today. They're the noble people. They're the people who have been giving money, but they've been charging what's called interest or usury. They've been buying their lands, and they've been taking their children. And he's like, you're acting like a heathen. You're acting like the people we redeemed these people back from. And he keeps on going back and says, and will you even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. So that, once again, they could not respond. They had been caught on the carpet, in a sense. Verse number 9, also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? A couple of things you see there. Nehemiah said, look, what you're doing is not right. Shouldn't you be walking in the fear of the Lord? And then he says, remember your testimony because of the heathen that are around you. It continues on and says, I likewise, my brother and my servants, might exact them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. He's saying here that as governor of this area of Jerusalem right now, he could exact interest. He could take money from the people. He could take corn from the people. And he says, look, follow my example. Let's get rid of the usury. Verse number 11, then he commands them to restore. He says, restore, I pray to you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the 100th part of the money. What is that 100th part of the money? That would be considered their usury or their interest that they had paid. And of the corn, the wine, and the oil, that you exact covenant is everything you have taken away from them, restore to them, give them the opportunity to serve, give them the opportunity to continue on doing this great work for God. Verse number 12, then said they, we will restore them. So the nobles respond, okay, you got us. We will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. So they said, okay, we'll do what you're asking. And he continued on and says, then I called the priest and took an oath with him. So he says, okay, you say you'll do what's right. Let's get the priest over here. Let's verify this. Let's make sure they make a commitment, not just before me as a governor, but before the people who represent God. And took an oath with them, kind of in a sense, maybe, you know, today we have people put their hands in the Bible when it comes to the court of law because they want to take an oath of telling the truth. That they said that they should do according to his promise. He says, let's keep them accountable. all elsewhere with my lab, and this was something they would do in the past, meaning it's final, it's done, and said, so God should shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and empty. And all the congregation said, Amen. They were excited. Many of these people had their debts forgiven. They were receiving things back that were unlawfully taken from them, according to all that they know, according to God's law, had been taken away from them. And praise the Lord. They were excited. They were praising and rejoicing. And the people did according to this promise. Moreover, from the time, and we got a little bit of history to help us here. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brother have not eaten the bread of the governor. So Nehemiah is showing them the example here. He's not bragging here. He is just leading from example. And we're seeing here from this that true leaders are going to lead by example. Verse 15, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, saying that the people before would take the taxes and take the usury, and had taken with them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants, their rule over the people, but so did not I because of the fear of God. He says, we treated them differently, we treated them right. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither and come to the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now all that which was prepared for me daily. Listen, moms and wives, can you imagine cooking this every day? Daily was one ox, six choice sheep, also fowls were prepared for me, and one in 10 days store all sorts of wine, yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. He's going before the Lord and saying, Lord, with an open and honest heart, I've done all this. We want to continue on building this wall. We want to continue on doing what is right. He leads by example of those verses. He has the right to be able to charge a tax according to what the government said, according to what King Artaxerxes would say. Charge them something. Take some bread. Take some corn. Take this. Make sure that they are paying their fair share. But according to God's law, a Jew could not exact usury to other people. He feared God more than he feared the king. Let's go ahead and have a word prayer. Ask the Lord's help tonight. We'll get right into the message. Building through problem solving. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I am excited about what our church is doing, Lord, and I pray that how we are growing this year, Lord, how we see the importance of rising up and building our lives. Lord, help us to say we want to do it for you. Help us to lead by example. Help us to show, even though when we have problems in our lives, that we will confront the issues and that you lack mistrust in you to take care of the issues of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's a couple things I want you to see. The message, I think, is pretty simple for tonight when we consider the passage of Scripture we just read. I told you the story. These people are falling into a very, very hard time. Nehemiah, as a leader, has a choice. Nehemiah has a choice. He says, okay, am I going to deal with this issue? Am I going to deal with this problem? Or am I just going to focus on the wall? Well, see, the problem that we live in today, many times people don't keep people and treat people like they're individuals. They don't treat people like they deserve to be treated. They don't treat people like the fact that God loves them and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and that their souls have value and that they have eternity to deal with. If we're really, truly going to try to build our lives, and even though we have problems in our lives, we're going to have to learn how to treat people the way that God wants them treated. We're going to have to learn how to love people the way that God loves people. We cannot simply view people as a statistic or a number. We must look at them as souls of how Jesus Christ was willing to pay the ultimate price for to be able to redeem them from their sins. Although this was called by God, this work was called by God. He had a cause. He had an agenda. He was driven. He worked hard. He did not disregard these people. He did not just push them away and say, you know what, I'm busy here. He takes time to stop, to listen to the people, to hear the needs of the people, and to respond to these things. As important as a project it was to build these walls, he knew the importance of taking care of the people that were there. He was compassionate. He showed care for them. They were the people that God had given to them in their lives. And church, I want you to understand something. God has brought people in our lives that we get a chance to influence. And we cannot just look at them as another number or a statistic or someone who is just part of my life. We should try to love people the way that God loves people. Sometimes we have trials. Sometimes we have complaints. Sometimes we bring them up and we get a standardized type of letter. What do you mean? Well, sometimes when you have an issue or a problem, you call up customer service and say, here's my issue. This and this and this and this. And people are like, okay, we're sorry. It's like they never even took consideration. Story once told about a guy who was sitting on an airplane and he was eating. He got out. He was hungry. He got his salad out. He took it off and he saw a roach sitting right on top of his salad. He got upset, obviously. And he says, you know what? I'm going to write the letter. I'm going to write a letter to the president of the airlines. He took out his laptop and writes out the letter. And he sends a letter, a lengthy letter, complaining about the lack of professionalism, how disgusting it was. And he was surprised just a week later. He got his letter. He got a letter back from the president. And he was reading the letter. And he sat there and he was reading through it. And he was like, well, this was nice. And he responded, I'm glad he cares about me. But then he also noticed inside his envelope was his original letter. He thought that was kind of confusing. He said, why would my letter be in there? He pulled that out on the back of the letter. It says, Joan, please send this man a standard roach letter. And he said, this is the thought here. That's how we're standardized. People do not many times care about people. We've gone from different stages to where we are in a stage and a spot now where people don't have any honor. And they don't care about one another. Nehemiah here, we see the wall being built. We see great things happening. But Nehemiah stops, care for the needs of the people. Make sure we're caring for the needs of the people in our lives. There's 3 points here tonight I'd like for you to look at. Point number one I want you to see is the complaint of the people. The complaint of the people. Verse number two, you see that it's the complaint from the laborers and the merchants. They're saying, we don't have enough corn. We don't have enough food. And the second thing, in verse number three, you see the complaint from the landowners and the farmers. They're saying, some also that were there that said, we have mortgaged our lands. They've given up those things. No longer can they be able to do what's necessary to feed their families. Complaint number three, the people were having tax problems. Remember, they were under the Medes and Persians. They were putting their family into slavery just to be able to feed their families. He said, what does this have to do? What I'm saying here is that they had problems back then. I don't think any of us have that problem that we have to put our kids into slavery. You listen to some of our kids talk, they might say that we put them into child slavery at their house because we put them to work. But that's just not the case. And I don't think any of us have ever had to sell our kids into slavery. Maybe some of her parents would say, well, can I sell my kids in slavery? But no, it's the point here is that they had problems. They had issues. This was a serious complaint, and thankfully Nehemiah was willing to meet it and meet it head on. You see the complaints of the people. In the midst of a great order for a great God, there was a great cry. And these were not trivial complaints. They weren't saying, oh, I hurt my finger, or oh, I need this, or I need this little thing. No, they wanted just food. And the ability to feed their families, and they had already sold themselves so short because of the fact that there was some dearth in the land. Next thing I want you to see is the care of Nehemiah. The care of Nehemiah. One of the great tests of leadership is recognizing a problem before it comes an emergency. One of the great tests of leadership and in your own lives is recognizing a problem before it becomes an emergency. Nehemiah looked at this and he says, look, there's something going on here. We need to take care of this and we need to realize it and take care of it before it becomes something even worse. And once again, I think we could all see if the people who are building the wall cannot feed their families, you know what? There's going to be a problem there and the work is going to stop. Nehemiah had to do something to do it quickly. This is a great test of his integrity. Integrity is keeping a commitment even as circumstances make commitment, even if the circumstances have changed since you made the commitment. Someone with integrity will keep his commitment. Nehemiah sees that there's a need here. He doesn't just give up. He doesn't just throw in a towel. He meets his head on. He knows he's made a commitment to these people in chapter number 2. He's made a commitment to this wall, the king also, about building this wall. And sometimes when a crisis comes up, we have to do something about it. Because if we do not pay attention to it, you know what's going to happen? The project will never be done. And as we're trying to build this wall, as we're trying to build our Christian lives, maybe as we're trying to build our families, or maybe as we're trying to build our Sunday school class, or a fan route, or whatever it is that God's laid upon your heart to increase and do better this year in our spiritual lives, there's going to be problems that come. And we need to be able to recognize the problems and issues, and we need to be able to strengthen our hands and say, you know what, before this becomes a real problem, I am going to fix it ahead of time. First thing I want you to see is he cared enough to confront the problem. He cared enough to confront the problem. Look what it says in verses number 6. It says, and I was very angry. You see that he had, his first impulse was, he was angry. He said, Pastor, if he's such a great Christian, this great leader, why was he angry? Why was he upset? He was angry towards the injustice. You look at many of the great men of the Bible. They dealt with anger issues. But many times it was a righteous anger in the fact that someone was treating them differently than what the law had said and what they were allowed to do. Nehemiah did not just dismiss it, did not say, I'm not going to take care of it, I'm not going to deal with it. He says, I care enough about this problem, I'm going to do something about it, I'm going to meet it head on. What do we do in our lives today? In our families, in our homes, as we're going through a parenting class on Sunday mornings and really enjoyed it. But one of the things is, be active in your child's life. Be proactive. Be vigilant about things. Don't just say, well, I see my son, I see my daughter, maybe they're struggling a little bit. Nah, they'll figure it out. They'll get older, they'll grow through it. I did that. No. We need to care enough to confront the problems, confront the issues that are going in our lives. And young people, if you have parents that are willing to try to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and won't let you live an ungodly, worldly life, and that we're going to confront the issues and deal with the problems, sit down and talk, you should be thankful for them. You should be thankful that you have godly parents. You should be thankful. There is tons of people in hell today that probably wish they would have godly parents. I mean, you think about Lot's daughters probably would much rather have Abraham as a father than Lot. Because he was willing to give them up to an angry mom.
Right.
What's that? They didn't want to deal with the problems. Didn't want to have enough care to deal with the issues. A little side note here, too. Sometimes problems happen amongst friends and inside churches. Care enough to confront the problems. The Bible talks about restoration and trying to make people get back in the right fellowship with God. And the Bible speaks much about ye that are spiritual. Make sure you have the right heart and the right mind and the right spirit. But sometimes there is a time when we see a friend going the wrong way that we need to care enough to stop and say, hey, can I help you? Or here, can I share a little bit of the Bible with you? Hey, I love you too much to see you head down this path and just stay silent about it. Nehemiah says, no, there's an issue, there's a problem, we need to do something about it. And he cares enough to confront the problem. He doesn't turn a blind eye. He doesn't ignore the problem. Nehemiah was not a politician. He did not say what was popular. He did not ask the question, what is safe? Nehemiah says, what is right? You hear in Exodus 22:25, the Bible says, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shall thou lay upon him usury. See, back in the law, when God wrote the law, he said, look, if someone who is poor, you lend them money. It's okay to lend them money, but don't ever try to put interest with it. Now, once again, this is how the Jews were supposed to treat the Jews. You might say in the day and time we live in, you know, if they were needy, they needed the money. It was nice for them to lend the money, but it was against God's law for them to do this. And Nehemiah becomes angry when he hears this. He sees a problem. He's angry with the people that are, it's a holy anger against the sin that they had not kept the law of God. He was angry at the greed and uncompassionate rulers. He was angry that their actions were affecting the unity of the people and the stopping of the work. Nehemiah's reaction gave him probably greater credibility to those that were there because they said, we have a need. And Nehemiah says, I will help you meet that need. So he cares enough to do something. I think there's a little lesson that we can learn here also in verse number 6 when it says, and I was very angry and I heard their cry in these words. Here, verse number 7, then I consulted with myself. You know, sometimes we need to be careful that we just don't open up our mouth. We need to be willing to learn and think and pray about it. You say he consulted with himself. He was a He was a man who loved the Lord. I'm sure he prayed or he was thinking about how he should respond to things. One of the things I think we can learn from these actions is where the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." See, Nehemiah wants to confront these nobles. Nehemiah wants to fix the problem. Nehemiah wants to build the wall. But he has to know and understand that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Christian, listen to these words. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There's a purpose, because in your wrath and in your anger, you do not do good righteousness. You're not doing God's work. Many times people in their anger and their frustration, they turn around and they start spouting off and start saying things. They think, well, I'm righteous in my anger. I'm holy in my anger. He consoles himself. He prayed and thought to the Lord. And you know, that slow to speak, swift to hear, that's something we should get better at. I know people who struggle with this. I'm probably an individual who needs to learn to listen a little bit more instead of responding so quickly. I know people who, you know, they're listening for what else somebody else says, so the moment they stop talking, they can start talking. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about being willing to hear, being willing to listen. Christians are quick to speak. We can hurt our speech. We need to be careful that we're trying to live for the Lord, and we're trying to hear the issues and the problems and trying to be helpful. He convenes an assembly. You see here in verses 7 through 10, he convenes an assembly. He begins preaching. We went through this a little bit. There's four things that he does during this assembly. First, he rebukes them. He tells them they are wrong. I think he goes to them individually. He says he went to the nobles privately. He tried talking to them. When they would not listen, he brings the whole group and shows them and says, okay, you have done this. This is wrong. You're acting like the heathens act. He reminds them, verse number 8, he reminds them that they've been redeemed. He tells them, look, these are people that have been redeemed. These are things that we have been bought back. We were under bondage. We were just 70 years ago all under Babylonian bondage. We were all there. We've been redeemed. We've been brought back. We're now in the land. Now you're going to do the same thing that the heathen people did to us earlier. The third thing he reminds them of is that the word of God and how they need to walk in fear. Verse number 9, he says, and also I said, it is not good that ye do, ought ye not to walk in the fear of God. He says, look, shouldn't you be fearing the Lord? Shouldn't you be walking with the Lord? And verse number 9, he talks about hearing about the witness. He says to them, God, because of the reproach of the heathen or enemies, he reminds them, look, your brothers, you've been redeemed. You need to be walking with the Lord. You need to. We're not in your testimony. Christians, tonight, when we're going through problems in our life, having issues in our life, we see from Nehemiah, he confronts the problem. He deals with the issue. He reminds them of some important facts. And then he commands them to return the money. Verse number 11, he said, restore, I pray thee, to them. And he says, look, give back everything that you've taken away. That's wonderful. And guess what they do? They say yes. But let's not miss something here. We've learned a lot of the things about leadership. You should confront the problem. So you should be careful how we respond. And you might be thinking in your heart, you might be thinking in your mind, well, great, I got a problem at work, or I got a problem at home, or I got a problem somewhere in church. I need to deal with this, and I need to deal with it right. But that's a triumph of it. There's a tragedy here too. And he has to call all these people and all these noble people out and do all this. What's not happening? No one's going to walk. The work of God has to stop to be able to take care of these problems. It's the tragedy that happens that while Nehemiah had to call this time to convene and meet with a few people, because of a few people that were disobedient, because of a few people who did not walk in the fear of the Lord, the entire building project had to stop. And it is a tragedy today. It is a tragedy today that many times the building of our lives, of the churches, had to stop because of the few disciples who meet. Christian, today, I know the message is a little bit different than we heard in the other chapters because it talks about how to deal with other people's problems. But our whole entire lives, we're going to be dealing with other people's problems. We're going to have to realize that they're people who God loves. We're going to have to be sympathetic in a sense and compassionate with them and work with them, reminding them of things, rebuking them when needs to be rebuked, encouraging them that we're brothers in the Lord, reminding them about the Word of God and walking in the fear of the Lord, and telling them, remember their witness, but at the same time, remember, do not let all this sidetrack the work that God's given you to do. The last thing I want you to see is the cause for rejoicing. Verses 12 to 13, they say that they're willing to restore it. They're excited. Everybody even says that now. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that did an according. They kept them accountable. And you talk about shaking his life. I think it's kind of neat. He says that all the congregation said amen. I know some people like to say amen. Some people don't like to say amen. But at this point in time, there's such a rejoicing. Everybody's excited. And they say amen all together. And they're thrilled about it. And so it's a good thing. And they want to rejoice in that. You know what? It is always a time of rejoicing when people are walking in obedience to Jesus Christ. The greatest times of our lives and the happiest times of the day for your family is when you're trusting and obeying the Lord. Their joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, this joy caused the people to say amen, and they were praising the Lord. I tell you, I've done both. I've lived for self, and I've lived for God, and the happiest times of my life is when I was praising the Lord and living for Him. It doesn't matter if I have to build like Nehemiah did. It doesn't matter if I'm pushed to my limits. It doesn't matter even if there's problems that happen. It doesn't matter if there's issues. There's joy in serving the Lord. And that when these men get right and they say, okay, we'll do what's right, people respond. They're excited. They can get back to building the wall. Verses 14 through 19 here, it talks about Nehemiah giving an example. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but this is just a note to those that influence others. We should lead by example. I'm not just talking about myself and Brother Paul. I'm not just talking about the deacons and their wives. I'm not just talking about the Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about those that we influence. We should be leading by example. And that's what Nehemiah is doing here. He is living a life that's showing this to these men. These men probably would have never said, look, you do this. You bought this land. You've done these things. No, he was doing what was right. Because he was spiritual and doing what was right, he could confront them. He could rebuke them. But if Nehemiah was a part of this, he could have never dealt with this issue. He could have never dealt with this problem. And guess what would have happened? The wall probably would have never been built. Yes, God called him to do it. God enabled him to do it. But the wall would have never been dealt if he would not be clean and right with the brother's issue. Christian, we're going to face people that have problems all the time. And we should try to do our best to help them. We shouldn't just look at them as another number. We shouldn't just look at them as another statistic. We should say, oh, they're going to sin. It's a shame. It's wicked. No, we should try to help where we can. Nehemiah illustrates a very important principle. Building is a time for sacrifice and for sharing. And that's what Nehemiah is sitting here, he sacrifices. You see, he feeds over 150 of his brethren. He feeds those that are visitors. He's feeding his workers. He's doing all these things. And he does not even take the usury that he could by a legal right. D.L. Moody said, a holy life will produce the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns, they only shine. A holy life will produce the deepest impressions. Lighthouses blow no horns, they only shine. Christian, Nehemiah was able to help solve this problem so they could continue on building because he led by example. He confronted the problems. And he was willing to do what God has asked him to do. So how do we apply it to our lives today? I don't know about you, I have problems. I think most of us would say we have problems in our life. What do we do with it? Are we in a spot where God can use us to be able to fix these problems, or at least help us to be able to be a leader when it comes to these issues. Be able to resolve so we can continue on with it. So we can continue on with it. Christians, I know the challenge tonight may be a little bit different, but you say, what am I supposed to apply? Do you love people? I mean, that's the first thing here. You see, Nehemiah, governor of Jerusalem, building a wall, probably has numerous people there building. A small group comes to him and says, we got a problem. What do you do with those people? Do you dismiss them? Do you throw them away? Do you kick them to the curb? Or do you love them the way God does? Secondly, are you in a spot spiritually where you can help and encourage them? Can you confront the problems? Parents, are you someone who just sits there and say, oh, they're just being boys or just being girls? Oh, it's just a phase you're going through? Or do you get involved and say, I want to help you? Maybe you have somebody you've been praying about and praying for. You see them going down the wrong path, and God has spoken to your heart about going and just trying to encourage them and trying to point them in the right directions. Are we just throwing them in the way, or are we trying to help them? Once again, there's a very, very thin line there. Make sure that you are spiritually right and that you're interested in restoring them. I think that's Nehemiah's interest here, is he wants to get it right, he wants to get it clean, he wants to show them, he calls them on the carpet. He does it publicly. I don't think he's trying to shame them. I think he's trying to say, look, what you've done is sin. He went to them privately first. Then he goes to them publicly and he tries to get them to get right. So Nehemiah was wrong. But when you think about it, who was the person that confronted you with your sin? Aren't you thankful for that? I know I'm thankful for the person who says, look, you're a sinner. Your sin has caused you to have a sin debt that you cannot pay. Because of the sin you've done, you're a sinner. The Bible says that you should go to a horrible place called hell. But Jesus Christ loved you so much. You know, someone had to confront us, whether it was through the preaching of the Word of God or somebody pulling out a gospel tract and saying, hey, I know we're all sinners, and there's something we've got to do with our sin problem. Somebody has to confront us there with a need. And there's been times in my life when someone has come to me and says, Brian, or depending on whatever else, pastor, or whatever, that says, you know, I see you heading this way. There's a problem here. Can I help you? Can I give you some help, guidance? Can I pray for you? That helped over the years. Church, let's be a people that continue to build, even though there's problems. Continue to build through problems, though. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed, eyes closed for a time of invitation. Dear Holy Father, Lord, I thank you for the dying. I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, what a great story. We see what happened with Nehemiah. We see that there's real issues and real problems that people are facing and dealing with. Now, Nehemiah loves them. Nehemiah cares for them. He has a huge job he's doing. He has so much that's on his plate now, but he takes the time to help the people that God has given them the chance to end. Help us to learn that great lesson. Help us to learn that we should confront the issues before they become real burdens. Help us to deal with the problems that are in life. And help us to learn to depend and lead on you. Help us to lead by example. Is anyone going to see Christ in our lives? Lord, I pray that you let us learn about being people that are quick to hear, slow to speak. Help us to learn to consult with ourselves or seek you in prayer when problems come in our lives. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts in Jesus' name.